Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Russell Wilson, 9 years in the NFL, 8 Pro Bowlers. Some of the numbers with Russell Wilson are insane. He's the first quarterback in league history, in the history of the National Football League, with a winning record in each of his first 9 seasons. What? That's insane. Youngest quarterback to ever start consecutive Super Bowls. Was he that young? I mean, I knew he was young. We just forget. We forget. Russell's still young. And by the way, they sent me these Bose 700 no noise-canceling headphones. I swear to God.
Can you hear me?
Okay, talk to me.
Hi, Colin.
I can hear you. I can hear. I can't even believe. I can't hear. And you're next to me talking into this.
Yes.
Let's get Russell.
Well, no, I'm not talking. The sound's not coming out of the microphone, but yes, obviously I'm talking to you.
Yeah, because I'm getting the microphone through my headset.
Yes.
Russell Wilson's joining us live. These puppies are incredible. Are you wearing those right now?
I'm rocking them, Colin. Yeah, obviously, I see you got the hookup. We were able to send a bunch of those, not just to you, but a whole bunch of healthcare workers today.
Oh, good.
Which is pretty cool. So, you know, Bose and I have been partnering to really try to make a difference. And we gave them some pretty cool, a big old box kit just to say, hey, thank you for all you've been doing. And give them some Super Bowl merchandise, a lot of fun. And local businesses, too, we've been rewarding, too. So, you're set up there. It looks like you and Joy are all set up there.
We're doing well. So let's go back to your first Super Bowl. You know, I was talking to Troy Aikman the other day, and he said, I didn't sleep very well before a lot of games. He goes, the night before the Super Bowl, I slept great. He goes, I thought this is easy. He goes, then I ran out of the tunnel. He goes, I don't remember anything for the next 30 minutes. I was just like, oh. So go back to your Super Bowls. You've always been a great pressure player. But go back to the first quarter of both your Super Bowls. Is it different, Russell? Are there more nerves than usual?
I think you have your natural feelings. But honestly, the best part of the game, I've always told people this, is going out for the coin toss. I was fortunate to be captain that year. And me and Heath and Big Red, we went out for the coin toss. And meanwhile, Peyton Manning and Champ Bailey and all these guys were walking across the other side, and they did the coin toss. Hey, welcome the AFC champs, the Denver Broncos, welcome the Seattle Seahawks. It's a lot louder, obviously, with the Seahawks. And then fast forward, you put this, the ref gives the coin toss. He gives the coin toss to Joe Namath, and he's going to do the coin toss. And all right, we got cool Joe here to do the coin toss. And sure enough, he flips the coin. But I haven't said heads or tails yet. So that kind of calmed my nerves. And Joe leans in and goes, hey, Wilson, I always had a quick release. And so I knew it was going to be a good night that night just from the jump.
Yeah, that by the way, that game was over rather quickly and you were sensational. So when you – it's funny because you face Manning and then you face Brady. And when you face Tom – did Pete Carroll talk a lot that week about, okay, game's not going to be over. Tom's a legend in the second half. Did it feel different facing Brady? I mean, you're on the other sideline of the greatest quarterback ever. Was that in your head? Did you think about it?
No, I think going up against Peyton, how well our defense played the year before, that was amazing, obviously. And we were able to win that game in such great fashion. I think, playing this game, the second time we went to the Super Bowl, we were actually up, I think, by 14 or so.
Yeah.
Late in the game. But our guys started, defensive guys, we had a few guys go down and get injured. So that, and he just made his plays, they made our plays. And then unfortunately, we didn't make that last play at the end, but we had our chances throughout the game. And so, it's football, it's part of the game, And so, I think that, obviously going against Tom and to see him, what he's doing, obviously, I think it's 10th Super Bowl, him leaving the Patriots, being in Tampa to be with Bruce Arians and all the weapons he has around him, how the guys are doing for him and the defense and how great the defense is. But obviously Tom's, arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. And so it's going to be a great matchup to see this game for sure.
Yeah, Joy and I have said this before. LeBron and Brady are the most committed athletes we've ever seen. And Joy and I have said, you're in the class now, the money you spend on your body. And people could look at Brady, LeBron, and you and think, gosh, Russell has no fun. He's just doing sit-ups and drinking water all day, and it's committed. How do you balance, Russell, being committed and then being having a big life and a husband and father? Because you are one of those rare, you're spending seven figures a year on your body, on the quarterbacking. Is it a tough balance?
Well, I think that the huge part of it is it's got to be a lifestyle. You know, this life is you got to be, it's got to be a lifestyle. You got to be fully committed to it every day. Your study habits, the way you work, the way you prepare, you know, everything else. Obviously, you know, I have a whole performance team and everything else, but really also what goes into it is the mindset. You know, I'm a big believer in the mindset. If you guys ask guys like Tom, LeBron, those guys, myself, you know, it's about the mindset too. And it's, you know, preparing and investing in that part of it too, as well. So that's been a big part of it for my career, you know, to really sustain success. And how do you do it year in and year out? And then, you know, ultimately I want to play another 10, 15 years. So, you know, I've been thinking about that daily, every day. And you have a whole plan for that. And so, you know, for me, it's the obsession with winning. It's the obsession with the process. You got to love the process more than the end result. And you got to be able to, you know, focus on championships and winning championships. And so all of that together is something that I've been really passionate about and really care about every day. And, you know, to be honest with you, you got to sit up in the front of the room and take notes. You got to keep highlighting. You got to keep studying. You got to keep learning.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I've always dedicated my game to.
You know, I said it this year, listen, I'm from the Northwest. And so a lot of my friends, my family are Seahawk fans. And I said, I did feel at the end of this year that the offense was predictable. And I thought it needed a change. And I thought, you're not giving Russell the support he needs. And I said that. And DK Metcalf came out about a week ago and said, listen, man, people kind of, they figured us out. You always keep your head high. You're never negative. That's just not your, that's not your jam. That's not who you are. But was there a point this year, Russell, in the middle of it, where you felt like, we got a lot of good players here, we're not challenging ourselves, we're not challenging others? Did you ever feel that?
Well, I think the thing for us was, you know, we had such an electric, amazing start at the beginning of the year. I mean, we were able to do everything. We went forward every game, every play, every possession, everything else. We had some bumps in the road. I could have played better. I should have played better. I can do my part too, obviously, as well. And I think what happened though was that, you know, we had several guys go down up front. We, you know, we didn't have our starters necessarily and everything else, but also, you know, as our defense continued to play better, that's time for us to really take off and to keep going and to keep, you know, preparing at the highest level. And so that's something that we really wanted to be able to do, throughout the rest of the season. Unfortunately, we didn't go for it as much. I don't think, I think we got a little bit passive, and we got to make sure that never happens again. We got to make sure that we do everything we can, to, like I said, to be playing this Sunday. I mean, that's what it takes. We got great players, and we got our best players. We've got to let it go and go forward and everything else. And I think on offense, we didn't adjust, you know, great throughout those tough. You know, we had a couple games where we could have adjusted better. You know, that was last year, you know, and I think that ultimately, you know, this offseason is really about, you know, how can I be the best version of myself, and across the board. And I think ultimately, like I said, you know, and my mindset's, you know, we should be playing today, you know, or I should say this weekend. And so I think that's really what matters most to me when I wake up every day, every morning, you have that itch.
So when you've been in a couple of Super Bowls, I mean, you've played in Rose Bowls and big games and all that stuff. But when you're in a Super Bowl, every play is just bigger. It's going to frame your legacy. That's the reality of it. How do you, when you get into these, again, you've played in so many big games, but in the Super Bowl, I can remember so much about that Super Bowl, that throw up the sideline right before, you know, the end of the game. How do you keep your anxiety down? Like, you come out of the tunnel, you're amped up. How do you not overthrow the ball? End of game, you're tired. How do you not force stuff? Super Bowl, massive pressure. Where do you go? Because I never sense it with you. I think you play better from behind than with the lead. I think you play better in the fourth than in the first. How do you get there? Where does your mind go?
I think, first of all, pressure is a privilege. You know, and for me, you know, I try to remain neutral. I try not to get too high. I try not to get too low. I try to be in the middle of the moment. I try to embrace the moment. I think sometimes some people fear the moment. I look forward to the moment. And that's something that I've always been dedicated to, and something that I've always visualized since I was a young kid. And I've had tons of people tell me I couldn't do this, I can't do that, I won't do that. And you know, so I'm used to overcoming, you know, I'm an overcomer by nature. And I think that ultimately, you know, I'm grateful that God's given me the opportunity to play this game and do what I love to do. I think that you have to have winning habits. You know, success doesn't just happen by accident. You know, you have to have winning habits every day. Like I said, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle choice and what you do and how you think about things. And in the midst of the moment, like I said, I look forward to those moments.
I love watching this Super Bowl stuff. My sister didn't even like sports, and now she's a huge Seahawks fan because of you. When you go back and you look at those, look at that, Russell. You're on the sideline against Denver. Was that the greatest? I mean, it was probably obviously the greatest sports moment in your life. Can you even go back there emotionally? What you were thinking during that?
Man, win it. You know, it's you hold up that trophy. It's such a gift. You know, and every day you wake up, you know, wanting to do that. Every day you wake up, just that itch, that urge to hold that trophy up again. I think also that night I was thinking about my dad, you know, I was thinking about my dad, just how far he's helped me come, my mom, but my dad, you know, he's no longer living. So he wasn't able to see me in person there, but I believe that he spiritually, he was there with me. And so that was an emotional moment right there where I got to hold up the trophy and the gift of that. And so you got to do it more. You got to hold up more trophies because it's such a special thing. You know, it takes so much hard work and belief and everything else. And so, you know, I'm excited to be able, hopefully able to do that again one day.
You know, it's interesting. I've been defending Deshaun Watson for the last couple of days, and I've said, listen, these athletes don't get very long. And so we, you know, Matt Stafford, he kept quiet and didn't talk about it. But for 10 years, he lost a bunch of games, and Andrew Luck didn't fire back, and he got so physically beat up, he had to retire. And so I've said with Deshaun Watson, if you believe you don't have support, you should say something. You should just say, hey, you're lucky. You've had a very good coach and you're always a team guy. But now, Russell, you are the franchise. Do you feel sometimes now going forward, your next 7-8 years, that there's going to be moments you're going to have to confront the GM or confront the coach and say, guys, this doesn't sit well with me. By the way, you guys have a new offensive coordinator. Did you give an opinion on that? Did you say, listen, we're stale? Do you feel you have a need to do that or a right to do that now?
Well, I think on the offensive coordinator front, you know, that's Coach Carroll's decision. He makes that decision and everything else in terms of, you know, Shoddy. I think Shoddy has been a great coach. He's now in Jacksonville and everything else. And I really enjoyed my time with Schottenheimer and who he was and the coach that he was. But, you know, in terms of the next offensive coordinator and us deciding on Shane, you know, I was very adamant that, you know, we needed to have a mixture of all the different things that we can do. And when our offense continue to progress, continue to grow and continue to challenge and everything else. And so I think Shane definitely brings that to the table. You know, hopefully he can really help us with that. I've had some great dialogue with him over this past several days. I just got off the phone from you know, earlier too, as well. And so I think that's really important throughout this journey. I think, you know, for the next 10 plus years of my career, you know, my mindset's on one thing, that's winning more championships. And so it's such a critical thing that, like he's mentioned, you know, the legacy of it all and how you want to leave this game, I think is really important too. And I'm obsessed with the process and I'm obsessed with the winning part of it all too. And, you know, hopefully we're able to do that.
All right. Bose headphones, use them. The 700s, they're great for conference calls, video chats. First of all, I don't look good in hats and I don't look good in headphones. So do not judge them how I look. Judge them how Russell Wilson looks, which is stellar. They just gave a bunch to healthcare workers. You're a credit to the game, my man. I love talking to you, Russell. Thank you.
God, it's always a pleasure, man. Grateful for you. And keep going, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Russell Wilson.
All right. See you there.
Go Hawks. That's right. My sister didn't even care about sports until Russell Wilson. And now during the game, she'll send me blue and green hearts. Or she'll send me the emoji of people biting their fingers. Yeah. She's always like, I don't like sports when it's like this. Why can't they win early? I'm not interested in trailing.
She wants all blowouts.
Oh, she doesn't. I get all these little emojis during the game.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
Well, Tom Brady is no stranger to conference championship wins, but many of his Bucks teammates are. And Levante David shared Brady's reaction to some guys in the locker room who were showing their emotions about finally getting to their first Super Bowl.
When I realized that it was real, when I realized that, like, all the other stuff don't really matter unless it's a Super Bowl, it's like, after we won the NFC Championship, you know, me, I'm all happy as my first threat. I'm geeked up. And then, like, I guess somebody was crying, and I guess, like, I heard him. It's like, what the f*** you crying for? Are we not done yet?
I mean, Dom, like, this is your 10th. Have a little grace. This is a lot of guys' first time going to the big game. They could be excited about it.
Oh, that's great.
It is. It's funny. It's a funny story because you can literally visualize him doing this. And because he's been to 10, he knows, like, you know,
don't get too caught up on this.
But you gotta, you know, what did you say earlier? You gotta live in the moment, you know? You gotta appreciate everything as it's happening.
I still, Joy, I can't believe they won at Lambeau.
It's still kind of washing over me that they're here. Didn't you pick them for the Super Bowl at some point this year? I think you did.
Well, I said wild card team, they're going to get really good at the end of the year. I said defense will lead them early, offense will take over late. And
I mean, I thought they were going to be a wild card team, maybe win one playoff game, but I did not think they were going to get to the Super Bowl.
I thought Seattle, I said this about week 12, I said, oh, Seattle's healthy, watch out.
Right.
And they got worse. So, I mean, like, the two things in the NFC, I thought Green Bay was going to beat Tampa. I bet some money on that. I lost money on that. It's my biggest loss of the year as a game. Wasn't a fortune, but that I loved Green Bay. And my second thing is I thought Seattle, once the running backs got healthy, I was like, is over. They're going to roll. And they got worse. They got very predictable and very static and very boring off. Pete went too much into the run. And the AFC, not a lot of surprises. The right. NFC has just been unwrapping a different present every weekend.
Well, I just thought they would need another year.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Right.
That's the way it works.
Normally, unless it's Tom Brady. So the Chiefs hit a home run with their selection of Patrick Mahomes in 2017. And Sean Payton said the Saints were also very interested in getting him after their pre-draft visit to Texas Tech.
Like, just blown away, impressed. I know I had made the comment that that's the best quarterback. That's the best college quarterback I've ever evaluated. We were picking 11. Andy went to 10. And as soon as that trade took place, we knew that was for Mahomes. And we were staring at Lattimore and Mahomes. So those were two good scenarios. But he's fun to watch and certainly tough to defend.
God.
I love those stories because it's always wild to imagine if the Chiefs hadn't done that. And now Patrick Mahomes is with the Saints. He sits a year right behind Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. But, like, that was a couple years ago. Drew Brees keeps playing. Like, what happens with Drew Brees? Do we ever even see Patrick Mahomes?
Think of this. Think about how legacy's changed. What if Andy Reid doesn't move up? Sean Payton gets him, and Sean reels off four Super Bowls with the one he has. Then we're talking about Sean Payton, maybe. The best coach ever. Like, I mean, seriously, legacies, it's all in when it comes to coaches, maybe not players, but when it comes to coaches, boy, you
get it really comes down to these moments.
You need the right general manager. Andy Reid told us the story. Brett Veach came to him a year earlier and said, "You're not going to believe this kid down in Lubbock, Texas." And Andy looked at him and went, "Holy moly." And then he'd come to him every 6 weeks. "I got more tape on this kid. You've got to see." And Andy's like, "Bruce, you're obsessing. Brett, you're obsessing." It's going to change Andy Reid's legacy. He's going to get four or five more Super Bowls. And there are going to be a lot of people that say Andy Reid is Bill Walsh, is Belichick.
It's massive. But it's also, in Patrick Mahomes, to his credit, when we talk about this a lot, he wasn't necessarily a winning quarterback.
He had a losing record his
last
2 years.
He started 32 games. It was 13-19 in his three seasons at Texas Tech. So, you know, if you're a young guy, signing day yesterday, my nephew signed with Arizona.
Oh,
by the way.
That's right. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Isaiah. But, you know, these kids are going all over the country and they're starting their careers.
Listen, like, everybody develops late, too. Think about this. Stephon Diggs.
Look at Aaron Jones.
Stephon Diggs, fifth round.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones, fifth round. Like, I hate the word normal. I used to use it all the time. I never use the word normal anymore because every time an adult uses the word normal, there's a child, a little girl, a little boy who thinks, "Oh, I don't fit."
Yeah.
It's like, don't listen to anybody. The paths are all the best receiver in the NFL, Stephon Diggs, fifth rounder. Devontae Adams went to Fresno State. I mean, it's the reality is everybody's got a different path, and some Andy Reid grinds for 40 years, and then thanks to a GM gets Patrick Mahomes, and the best 7 to 10 years of his life will be the last decade of his life.
Well, it's just what Russell said. Like, pressure is a privilege. You earn the right to be in those big moments and make those big decisions. And Andy Reid and Chiefs made the right one.
I love that quote. God, that's a great quote.
That's a good shirt. Pressure is a privilege.
I'm going to get that shirt. The other shirt I have is Nobody Cares, Work Harder.
Yes, you love that.
I love that. Who said that?
I have it, too. Oh, he sent us shirts, too. I can't remember his name. We'll give him a shout out.
Work harder, nobody cares.
Lamar Jackson was wearing it, which is why we
That's my
we
favorite.
Got it.
My new one is Pressure is a Privilege. I'm just going to wear T-shirts with slogans from this point forward my whole career. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
Hey, Ryan
news.
Fitzpatrick of the Dolphins. We're going to try to squeeze him in next. He'll be coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Terry Bradshaw is giving away another $250,000 in the Super 6 Super Bowl contest this weekend. Download the free Fox Super 6 app and make your picks for your chance to win. All you need to do is pick six outcomes in the Super Bowl. One of the questions is, how many completions will Tom Brady and Mahomes combine for? Colin, what do you think?
60, 30 each. Big wild scoring nonsense. It'll be crazy. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Dolphin quarterback, joining us live from Mountain Dew. He has started for 8 different teams. No quarterback in league history has ever done that. By the way, in a full disclosure, when Miami came to you this year and said, listen, we're starting Tua, and you came out and it hurt. I could tell it hurt. And I said, God, Ryan Fitzpatrick's got to know better. And it was interesting. I got a lot of negative feedback. People are like, Coward, you're a jerk. He's a human being. And I'm like, yeah, maybe I am a jerk. It really did hurt you. It bothered you. And even though you're well traveled, let's go back to that. You were pretty magical this year for them. And you shared, you know, listen, you felt injured. Is that fair to say?
Well, I mean, I know better than anybody the situation I was in. I said it early on in training camp. I was the placeholder until they thought Tua was ready to go. And that didn't make it any less hurtful when it happened.
Right.
And, you know, I want to be out there. I'm a competitor. And as I got older in this league, I'm able to say what I feel a little bit more. And that's how I felt. And I didn't try to take anything away from Tua or the team. And, you know, I accepted the role that they gave me and try to thrive in the role as his backup. And doesn't mean it didn't hurt not to be out there.
By the way, you're one of the better athletes in the NFL at quarterback, which cracks me up because everybody's like, oh, he's Harvard guy. He's a Harvard guy. And I'm like, no, he's actually, you're one of the 5 or 6 great athletes that play quarterback. Do you still think sometimes guys underestimate how good you are running with a football?
Without a doubt. I mean, you see a 38-year-old with a dad bod back there. They don't even give me a chance, and they're not gonna sneak 1 or 2 runs during a game.
It is, you really are. You're a hell of a runner with the football, and you're tough. You take a lot of shots. First of all, it is a weird relationship, you and Tua. I like it. I get it. He's lucky to have you. But like right now, you're going to go into camp. You're going to battle. Has there ever been kind of a weird moment with Tua ever?
Not really. I mean, part of it is the age difference. You know, I'm like as old enough to be his grandpa pretty much.
Yeah.
So it always has been the student and the teacher, you know, and he's done a great job of being willing to ask those questions. And, you know, I probably do too good of a job of offering advice. He doesn't need to listen to all of it, but you know, there's no ego between either of us. And it really was a good relationship. You know, he came in willing to learn and worked his butt off. And that's pretty much all he needed from me, you know, to watch him work as hard as he did.
Tom Brady won't drink a beer during the season. He's lasted forever. You've lasted forever. What's your secret?
Yeah, we may be the opposite in that one. I definitely have the opposite diet and the opposite habits in that way. But, you know, my biggest thing has been belief in myself. I really do think so. And then, you know, in not being seriously injured, I think a lot of that has to do with luck, too. But I'm very fortunate at the age of 38 to still be playing this game.
When did you know Brian Flores was good? Because he's clearly really good. When did you sense it, that he was special?
Well, we started the year, I think, getting outscored his first season in those first 4 games by over 100 points or maybe even 140 points. And We got to 0-7, and I think it was right about then when, you know, he decided he was going to put his personality and his stamp on the football team. He started being more of himself, putting more of himself into practice and meetings in terms of his personality. And right there, I saw that he was going to be a special player. I mean, he's a young guy. He's 39 years old. He can really relate to the players. Players can relate to him and, you know, look at him and respect him. He has a great presence in the room. And I was really happy to see the success that he was able to generate this year with our team, you know, going 10-6 from a team that was called the worst team in the history of the NFL 2 years ago. He's done a great job and will continue to improve that organization.
You have seven kids. You're an NFL quarterback. That is not the easiest life to balance. How do you do it?
Well, you have an amazing wife. I think that's one of the biggest things. And, you know, this year wasn't without challenges from anybody in any walk of life. And for us, you know, having my family lives in Tampa, so having a COVID test in Miami every day, I didn't really get to see them as much as I would have liked. So huge burden on her, but, you know, she did it with a smile on her face every day. So that helps me out a lot.
You love football. I can tell you love. I always say you look like if there was people were playing football on Thanksgiving in a family, you'd be the one guy in the family. You're like, yeah, yeah. Ryan was always a great athlete. He was so smart. He went to a good, but he could have played. Well, I watch you play. I see joy. I mean, literally, you love football. How long? Where's it come from? And how long are you going to play?
I mean, physically, I feel great. I don't think that's going to be the thing that holds me back. You know, I think with my oldest entering high school and, you know, different responsibilities on that end, you know, we'll see how that goes. But I think you're right. I mean, and I'm glad that that shows when I play the game. I truly love being out there with my teammates. I love trying to make guys better. I love trying to instill confidence in some of these young guys, in hopes of bettering their careers. So, you know, that's why I want to continue to play. And that's why I really enjoyed my 16 years in the league. When I get out there, I do feel like a little kid, you know, running around and making plays.
By the way, Mountain Dew Major Melon Super Bowl commercial stars John Cena, going to give fans a real-time opportunity to win $1 million. I want you to go to lifechangingdew.com, lifechangingdew.com for details. I have a minute left before the show's over. You went to Harvard. Were you a good student? You liked your beer. Were you a party? What kind of Harvard student were you?
I would say I was a decent student, but I also enjoyed college, which I would recommend to anybody. You know, do your best school, but make sure that you enjoy those 4 years.
Yeah, I did too, by the way. I was a decent student. It's just I went to Eastern Washington University. You went to Harvard. Life.
That was my only scholarship offer, Eastern Washington. My only scholarship offer coming out of high school. Tim Rosenbaugh.
I know him.
Yeah.
The hell? It's amazing. I literally, my mind just got blown. You should have gone there, by the way. It's the Harvard of the Palouse, Eastern Washington University.
I took a recruiting trip there.
Yeah, not much. Yeah, not much, by the way. Ryan Fitzpatrick, absolute pleasure. Good luck to you. Credit to the game.
Thank you. Mountain Dew.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.